This morning, I want you to notice Luke 11. It's not necessarily a Christmas theme, but Jesus Christ came, was born. We celebrate at this time of year. And I'm afraid that we do a lot of celebration and we buy gifts and give gifts and travel and meet with family. And you know, if we were to say, what does Christmas mean to you? We ask a small child, they would say it's I get toys, I get gifts. If you ask a little bit more older, maybe an adult, they would say, well, it's family. We get a chance to get together. How many of you are going to be with some family this Christmas? Raise your hand. Look at this. It's a family time. It's one of the times we get together and we enjoy the people that God has given to us. But could I just challenge you today and remind you that Christmas is not about us. It shouldn't really be about your family and my family and your mom and dad and grandmother and grandfather. It really shouldn't be about, did I get the right gift? How many of you have had this thought? I wonder what to get for so-and-so, what would be the right gift that they would most like? How many of you had some thought like that? Raise your hand. See, we're spending a lot of time and effort. How many of you had this thought? I'd like to get that gift, but that's a little too much. Raise your hand. Okay, see that we're all in the same boat, okay? You're trying to think about this Christmas. How many of you have thought about getting your house decorated? You got to decorate your house. And you've already done it, or you're fixing to go get your tree. If you do, you're a little late, but I'll just let you know that. But you're trying to decorate your house. If you're here today, you've thought about and you've put a lot of time and effort into your house to decorate it. Maybe the tree or garland. My wife said to me, we were driving yesterday on some road, and some guy really made me look bad. I mean, he had Christmas lights everywhere. He had little animals in the yard, and all of his trees, his fence was covered. His house had the little icicles. And Susan, you know, we were driving along. She says, boy, I wish we could do that one of these days. That's really pretty. I said, I'll decorate our 600 square foot apartment all you want right now. I mean, we got no trees. We've got barely windows. And so I could decorate that one. But how many of you spent time decorating your house? Raise your hand. Now, I want to draw your attention to this. It's Christmas. None of those things are bad. They're all good. They're fun. We look forward to them. Christmas is my favorite time of year. But I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we'll get all caught up in family and gifts. And I just want to remind you today that we're to spend time with Him. It's His birthday. And I want to draw your attention to prayer. Now, prayer is talking to the Lord. I want to draw your attention to five kinds of prayer. Four of them are mentioned in this very passage. You'll notice, if you would, in chapter 2, the Lord's Prayer, as it's called, four of them are mentioned in that passage. But five kinds of prayer. I want you to notice, first off, a prayer of praise. You'll notice, hallowed be thy name, lifting up the Lord. Lord, you're special. I wonder how many of us, and listen very carefully, I wonder how many of us during the Christmas season, we take a little time and we block everything out and we mentally forget about family and trees and decorations and lights, and we just find a quiet place and get on our knees and we just say, Lord, I just want to praise you a little while. Just you and Him. It's His birthday. And I'm afraid we do things for everybody else and not him. Lord, you're special. Your name is special. Lord, I just want to take a little time. If you have your Bible, notice, if you would, Psalm 150. Turn with me, if you would, over there, Psalm 150. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. You're special to me today. And I'm not talking about your something that doesn't come from your heart, but I want you to notice in Psalm 150, notice, if you would, Psalm 147. Look in verse 1. Praise you the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. Notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 148. Praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise ye him. Notice, if you would, 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. His praise in the congregation of the saints. It was right this morning, and it will be right for us to sing his praise in this room as his children. Those of us that are saved this morning, he challenges us and encourages us to talk with him. That first praise is that prayer of commendation. Lord, you've done so much to me, for me. Lord, you're special. Now, let me ask you this question. Notice, if you would, in verse Psalm 150, look in verse number 1. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We don't do enough of this. Take this Christmas season, take a little time, and you yourself, teenagers, praise the Lord a little bit. I'm not talking about some thing you do because you're supposed to. I'm just talking about, we ought to praise him, lift him up, because he didn't have to think about us and our destination of hell. But he did. He didn't have to reach out to you and I with his son's death and pay your debt of sin and mine. Now, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving. We can do that. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm talking about praising him. Lord, you're a great God. You are. I was praising the Lord the other day, and I got to thinking. I said, he's the King of Kings. That's true. He's the God of Gods. Well, there's only one God. And you know, sometimes if we're not real careful, we will forget to lift him up. When was the last time you got alone and you just lifted up the Lord? Praise is a theme throughout the scriptures. Teach us to pray. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. I want all of us in this room to draw up close to the Lord. And one of the ways you do it is you praise him. There are sometimes I'm laying in the bed and Susan's there beside me, and my heart is so full that, and I'm going to give you an example, that I'll just say to her, honey, you're wonderful to me. I think of the other girls that we were in high school with and where they are and what they were like. Lord, I'm so blessed. Honey, you're the best one of all of them. And I've told her that. And I'm not trying to embarrass her this morning, but that's praise. It's when you brag on somebody a little bit. She didn't ask for it. I mean, she wouldn't lay in there in bed and roll over and say, honey, would you praise me a little while? I need some praise. But when you love somebody, when your heart is in it, and when you sit down and think about it, all of a sudden you turn over and you say, you're wonderful. And I got under conviction. When was the last time I just slipped down and said, Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise you for it. And I begin to make a list of things. I want to praise him for being born in this country. I want to praise him for being born in the family that I was born in, because they taught me about the Lord and took me to church. And I got a chance to read the Bible for myself and learn and study the scriptures for myself and found out that it is true and that there is a God in heaven and that he's mine. And so just like, and sometimes we need examples of how to praise. And so there are times when I lean over and say, honey, you know, you're the best cook that I know of in this world. I can't wait to get in this house where you can cook me those chocolate chip cookies again. Honey, you're wonderful. Praise. Father, I just can't believe you put the stars in their heavens. Why did you do that? Was that for our goodness? Lord, thank you for being so thoughtful. I just want to praise you a little while. I want to praise you for my job. I want to praise you for my family. I want to praise you for such a festive season. Lord, I just want to lift you up. It encourages my wife when Jeremy calls. He'll say, hey, Dad. And I'll say, is this my favorite missionary in the whole world? And he will kind of chuckle a little bit. He said, I guess so. Everybody likes praise. Number one, it's not in our nature to praise people. Our nature is to look at people negatively. Our nature is not to lift them up, because our flesh wants to be lifted up itself. That's one of the reasons it's precious to the Lord when his creations lift him up and forget themselves. So all of us in this room, we need to learn to praise, to adore him, to lift him up, hallow his name. I notice not only that, but look with me if you would in Luke 11. He says this, teach us to pray. He says in verse number 4, and forgive us of our sins. Well, we should commend the Lord in praise, and we should confess to him. Now, I want you to understand this morning. The Lord Jesus has given us one of the most wonderful tools in all the world. Whenever you and I know what is right to do, and we do something that's wrong, we can take out this big eraser called confession and get down on our knees and say, Lord, I am sorry. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, I will forgive their sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful thing to be able to be clean this morning. And every one of us says, teach us to pray, Lord, forgive us. One of the things he wants you and I to learn to do is to live clean. You want to know why salvation is so difficult? Because we have to believe in him. We have to sort of humble our own selves, realize I can't get to heaven by myself. Lord, I'm sorry. Confession. It's made unto salvation. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 18. Just want you to see this. Notice if you would. Look in verse 13. Two men, both praying. Luke 18, verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Okay, here's prayer again, to talk to the Lord. One a Pharisee, a religious leader, and the other a publican, a normal person. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give thee tithes of all that I possess. He was praising himself. And the publican, standing far off, in his humility, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven. Why? There's some embarrassment. There's some shame there. And I think that's why we don't like to confess. I think that's why we're not good at husbands and wives looking at each other saying, honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. And so there are a lot of marriages that have issues amongst them because they will not use this little C word, confession. Now, you'll notice if you would in verse number 13, he said, he smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He simply told the Lord he was a sinner. He fessed up. He didn't even pray a decent prayer. Lord, just be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't ask to go to heaven. He didn't pray it right. But the Lord could see the intent of his heart and the brokenness in his heart. And you know what he said? Notice what he looks here. He said, this man went down justified rather than the other. Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling a long time with your salvation. Not sure you're saved. Why don't you come today and tell the Lord you're sorry? Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Just talk to Him. There's not any magical words. It's believing in your heart. Confess your sin. Now, I want you to notice the confession is two parts. Romans 10:10, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you can confess your sin and be saved. You can also confess your sin to the Lord and be clean. Now all of us in this room, every day we get saved. From the day we get saved, our sins are washed away, past, present, and future. We're on our way to heaven. Okay, the debt's paid. But whenever you do something wrong tomorrow or today, there's this lack of fellowship that's between us and the Lord. There's something that's there between us, and it's sin. And we need to take time to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then everything is right again. Confession is a big eraser. It removes all of the issues between you and the Lord. How many of you would like to do math with a pen? Well, you got to be real good to do it that way. Because I wear out erasers, you know. I want you to double check it. And so you backwards go up through the process and check your math and come to find I made a mistake someplace. And so then what do you do? Well, So it looks pretty bad when you go through and crossing through stuff like that. And that's what you call what's a rough draft. Well, when you're going to speak to the Lord, you've got to go through the rough draft of your life and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, I'm sorry for that, so you can be clean. Today, have you told the Lord you're sorry for the attitude this morning when you got up, for what you said the other day? Lord, I'm sorry. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 16. I want you to see this. Just back a couple of pages. Notice with me, if you would. I'm sorry, Luke 15. Luke 15. In verse 17. Notice with me, if you would. Look at this passage. Now, we know the story. It's the story of the prodigal son. He asked for his father's, for his possessions that were rightfully his, one half. The father had two sons. He takes all of his possessions, goes out and wastes them. And they're all gone. He's working in a pig pen. In verse number 16, he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's the day we always say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I did it. Lord, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Americans and Christians and anybody with a little bit of pride, they're not good at confession. Husbands and wives, it's like we sort of figure out, I'll hold my ground. Teenagers, we don't ever want to admit the first time what people will think of us. I want you to know something. When you confess your sin, your people's respect level for you goes way up whenever you fess up right off the bat. It shows character. It shows humility. And Jesus said, when they said, teach us to pray, Lord, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Notice, if you would, in verse 17, and when he came to himself, and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And notice, if you would, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against, here it is, heaven and before thee. Every time you and I sin against somebody in this life, the first person we ought to go to is, Lord, I'm sorry, I sinned against you first. Every time you sin against people here, if you sin against somebody here, but you also against your Father in heaven. Lord, I'm sorry. Make Christmas special so that you lift him up this Christmas season and you make sure there's nothing between you and him. If there's something somebody's done to you and you got a little bit of bitterness in your heart, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll forgive it. Notice, if you have your Bible, look back at Luke, and you'll see what he does here. When he says, I want you to understand, teach us to pray. He said in verse number 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. We also forgive others. Notice, if you would, in Luke 11, forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive one that is indebted to us. You see, in teaching them how to pray, confession is a big part of it. I did wrong. I'm sorry. Makes it right as best we can. Even this prodigal son. And then he practices. So then he goes back to his father. And you can keep reading it in Luke 15 if you want to. We don't have time. He goes back to his father. And his father sees him from a great way off and runs and gets him and hugs him and says, oh, son, go kill the fatted calf and bring a coat, a beautiful coat for him. Bring a ring and put it on his finger, shoes on his feet. He's been in the world and I want him to know I love him. Let's dress him up. And he pauses. And he sort of, it's almost like he pushes his father back a little bit and says, Dad, I got something to say. His dad said, yes, son. He said, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And I'm sorry. Now, I can tell you this. At that moment, his dad's heart must have broken. As he reached and hugged a son that was now clean. It's Christmas. Why don't you tell your Father in heaven, I'm sorry, and make it a Christmas where you're clean. A while back, I asked everyone, if it's Christ's Christmas, why are we giving each other's gifts? If it's his birthday, why are we giving everybody else gifts? Where's his? Well, this is a gift you can give to him. Purity. Cleanliness. You can give him praise. You can lift him up. Notice, there's another one that we can do. We can call upon his name. Notice, if you would, in this passage, you'll see down, look in verse number 5. Which of you have shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Notice in verse 9. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Do you know that the Lord Jesus likes it? He loves it when we call upon him for things. When you call upon him for your needs, he likes that. I like it when Jeremy calls me and says, Dad, would you help me with this, this, and this? And when there was a young boy and he said, Dad, would you go out and play ball with me? Dad, would you do this? Dad, can we go out and throw the football? Dad, can we go out? Dad, can we go? I always enjoyed that because it made me feel important. It made me feel needed. Well, let me say this to you. All of us in this room need to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I need you for this and I need you for that. It's Christmas. We're celebrating his birthday. Let's give him the gift of attention, Lord. I know I'm asking for something, but Lord, you're the only one that can do it. Let's call upon him this Christmas. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall be found. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Why did he write that? Notice what else he puts down here. Notice what's in this very passage of teaching us how to pray. Look down in verse 11. This is Luke 11, 11. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, and looks at all of us and says, we've got an evil heart, we're born with it. And you know how to get good gifts unto your children? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Lord, give me more of your Spirit. Lord, help me to be more like you, to think more like you, to act more like you. Lord, I want your Spirit in my life. Lord, I yield myself to you. I confess my sin, Lord, and I'm calling upon you to give me your Spirit. Lord, help me to be like you this Christmas. Do you know what family time would be like if everybody in this room was filled with God's Spirit? If all the teenagers were filled with God's Spirit, if all the moms and dads were filled with God's Spirit, boy, there'd be no arguments and no frustrations and no anger and no bitterness. It's all gone. What a Christmas that would be. And then I notice not only a commendation, a prayer of commendation, a prayer of confession, and a prayer of calling, but I notice a prayer of compassion. It's where we pray for somebody else. You know, today, there are a lot of people that are hurting. There are millions who don't have a job. There are some in this room. You know what y'all should do? You ought to take a little time this Christmas and pray for them to be blessed. We ought to pray, Lord, as a prayer of compassion, I want to intercede for my brother-in-law who is lost. There's a particular person in the room today that I've prayed for years. They're doing good. And I pray for them to continue to do good. On my daily prayer list, Lord, would you bless so-and-so? Lord, would you please bless so-and-so? And there are some on my prayer list that they're not here. I understand they're coming soon. And I've been praying for them to get their hearts right. And I understand that they're doing what's right. And boy, I can be able to say, Lord, please, would you bless so-and-so? Folks, don't let all your prayers be about you. Pray some compassionate prayers. Some prayers for other people. Some prayers for those that have little or have less than we do. Pray for those that are without the Savior. I mean, when I talk to Jeremy or Matt Allen, or I talk with people around the world that are missionaries, Brother Miller in Papua New Guinea, when he goes, I think about people that they don't know about Christ. They're not on the way to heaven. Christmas means nothing to them except gifts. Let's pray for them that they'll find the real meaning of Christmas. That there's a God in heaven that we can lift up and we can talk to and we can ask things from, and he likes it. And he draws close to us, and Christmas can be sweet today if you and I will just learn to pray. But you can't get all caught up in family and in food and in fellowship and fun. You can't get caught up in all that. There's got to be some time where every one of us in this room, if you know Christ as Savior, where you get alone and you say, Lord, it's me, and you pray. You talk to the Lord. That's Christmas in heaven. When you and I give him the gift of our attention. Now, when I say what gift is under the tree, one year I just wrote on a little card and put it underneath the tree. Lord, I promise you, I want to give you this. So for the whole year, I'm concentrating on giving that gift to the Lord. It wasn't money. It was a part of me. And I'm reminded, Lord, I'm still trying. Lord, this is for you. What gift are you going to give the Lord this Christmas? What could you voluntarily give to him that you know he would like? You don't have to worry about money. He doesn't, you know, the person that's got everything, that's the Lord. I mean, his streets are gold. His walls are precious jewels. He's got everything. But the one thing he doesn't have is your attention, is your love, and your prayers. And that's what makes Christmas in heaven. So let me ask you, is the Lord going to have a Merry Christmas? Or is it just us? And the last thing is a prayer of credit. Lord, thank you. Now, I'm sure every one of us in this room, we could make a list as long as our arm of saying, Lord, thank you for this, and thank you for this, and thank you for this. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll begin. I just challenge you to go through your garage. And just start in your garage and start writing down things you can be thankful for. Maybe go to your closet. Lord, you'll find things in there you didn't even know you had. And you'll say, where did that come from? I remember that, but I don't remember that. When we moved, we were six years, we lived in this house now, just 6 years. I can't imagine living someplace 30. But 6 years, we looked in, and I'm cleaning out my closet, and we're picking up things in the closet. And I said, where did this come from? When did we get those shoes? Where did I get those? I found tennis shoes I've never worn. Didn't know how they got in there. Somebody must have came in and put them in my closet. I didn't get them. Clothes. I mean, you know, I found ties that I'd never worn. I said, how in the world did I get this stuff? You know, I don't know how, but I know where. Lord, thank you. And some of it I didn't even use. Jesus Christ was trying to teach a lesson when he had 10 lepers. All of them went to the priest to show themselves, and one comes back, falls on his knees, and said, Lord, thank you. Remember what Jesus' question was? Where are the 9? You can make Christmas special to the Lord if you'll give him credit. Lord, I say thank you. Every Christmas is special now. I'm thankful for Susan every Christmas. I'm thankful for Jeremy every Christmas because I almost lost both of them. And you know, I don't thank the Lord enough for them. If he takes both of them home, I got a chance to have them for a while. And I can say, Lord, thank you. But while I still got them both, why shouldn't I make Christmas in heaven and give him credit for it? Today, are you going to have a good Christmas? Or is he? Doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to worry about, oh, I got too much on the credit card. How am I going to pay for that? All you have to do is use these 2 kneecaps. Say, Lord, I want to make your Christmas special because you have my heart and attention. It's always a very precious thing when you have small children. It's even more special when they're grandchildren. Because you can play with them, wind them up, and send them home. That's great. But I remember back when Mandy had brought the children home to help us. And a special night, the kids would say, can we sleep with y'all? Now, we'd make a pallet beside the bed. And Mike and Michaela, they'd come over and they'd get on that bed. And boy, they'd have their stuffed animals or whatever they had. And they would get down there. We'd pull the covers up over them. And I'd get down there beside them. And Susan, and we would get a chance to pray with them. And it was so special when they would look up at us They would say, I love you. I'm glad we're here in America with you. Wow. But what would the Lord Jesus think if you told him, Lord, I want you to know it's special today and you're special to me. And you lay down on your bed and you pull up your covers and you say, Lord, it's me. I just want you to know that you're special to me. That's Christmas in heaven. Is it going to be Christmas for you? Or is it going to be Christmas for him? Lord, teach us to pray. That can be your gift to him this Christmas. Let me ask you, who's going to have the best Christmas? You or him? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. But are you going to make this Christmas special to the Lord Jesus? Doesn't cost you anything. Which one of these prayers are you going to lift to him? You're going to give him the prayer of commendation and praise him? Are you going to give him the prayer of credit and thank him? Are you going to give him the prayer of confession? Or you're going to give him clean heart? You're going to give him a prayer of calling? You're going to ask him for something and thrill his heart, make him feel like a real father? Are you going to pray with a compassionate heart for somebody else? He delights in that. Maybe you're here today and you say this, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I've never had the prayer of conversion. I've never called upon the Lord. Would you pray for me today? I just want to pray for you. Would you lift up your hand all over the building? Just slip it up and put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you let me pray for you? Pastor, I'm not sure. Yes, you can put it down. Is there somebody else along with this one? Anybody else? Quickly, just put it up and right back down. I'll see it. I just want to pray with you about it. Anybody else? Quickly. Maybe you're here today and you say this, Pastor, I know this. I'm looking forward to Christmas, but I really haven't thought much about making it a special Christmas for the Lord. Would you pray for me that I would be able to lift up the Lord? That I'd be able to set aside time and that I'd honor the Lord. I would make his name hallowed in my heart. Would you pray for me? I want to make this Christmas the best one I've ever had and the best one he's ever had for me. Would you lift up your hand all over the building? Yes, yes, many hands all over. Could I challenge you? Don't forget that. Maybe you're here today and there's something between you and the Lord. Maybe there's something between you and somebody else. And it's stopping you from having a great Christmas. Maybe it's between you and your mate or you and your parents. Could I challenge you to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry. I want to make it right. Get out the big eraser and leave this morning with a clean heart. Will you come this morning? Whatever the need is, forget anybody else is in the room. Forget who is here. Forget family. You remember Jesus. And you come to this altar and you say, Lord, I need to talk to you. If there's something you need to ask him for, why don't you come talk to him? Lord Jesus, we owe you a debt we cannot pay. And I'm sorry when I get too busy for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to make this the best Christmas you and I have ever had. Lord, I am thankful for all that you've given me. But Lord, I pray that you would help these people, some of the sweetest people on earth, to make Christmas in heaven wonderful for you. Now speak to our hearts, dear Lord. Speak to that one that raised a hand. Lord, help them to